It's been good morning thus far. Amen. Hope I don't mess it up. Amen. Enjoyed good singing today. Thank you. I tell you, Miss Sharon, you, every time I've ever been here, you've been a blessing to me if I let you sing. Amen. And I ain't been here often when they didn't, but I tell you, I enjoy Miss Sharon singing. And if y'all don't, well, I can't help it because you're so dry. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved. Good to know the Lord. Hallelujah, it is. Amen. I'm going to be in Revelation today. Let's start just chapter 1 and work our way to chapter 22. That'd be all right. Amen. Yeah, okay, amen. All right, we're going to start in chapter number 19 today. Chapter number 19. Revelation 19. And, I really don't like preaching this message, but it's the message God laid on my heart for this morning. So I'm going to try to deal with a kind of teachy preaching message today, and I hope it'll be a help to you. I'm going to read one verse of scripture, I think one, out of Luke 16. Don't you turn. But I want to read a verse of scripture in Luke 16. You remember, that's the chapter that's dealing with the rich man in hell. Remember that? All right, and then, you know, he's crying for relief. He said, you know, send Lazarus, and he made it, give the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, thus and so. And, of course, Abraham denied all that. And then he said, oh, I pray you'd send him to my father's house, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Remember that? Remember that? Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh, he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if you'd just do something special for them, they'd hear. But he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You treat this word lightly, and you'll find your place in eternal torment. I'm telling you, but God, you said, I'm waiting on the feelings. I understand feelings come. I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you, God never saves anybody outside this word. Yeah. You bank on that, buddy. God never saves anybody outside this. Let me give you scripture. James 1:18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. That's what the book said. Amen. And so I'm telling you, this book is so important. You neglect it. You neglect it to the destruction of your own soul if you neglect this book. I'm telling you, this is a serious book. This is serious business you come dealing with God's word. All right, well, I'm going to read today in Revelation 19. And I've got several different places I'm going to read, so you follow with us. Revelation 19, verse 20. Revelation 19, verse 20. You there? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So, I think it's pretty obvious of what's happening here. But I will say this now from what I gather. I don't see the beast and the false prophet going to the judgment bar. I don't see any place where they're going to be judged before God. They know better. They are as guilty as they can be. And when the Lord takes charge in verse number 20, he said, they're cast alive in the lake of fire without going to any judgment. All right, go to chapter 20. I know y'all have swallowed that and think on that, but you chew on it. And you're not going to find the place where Satan, or the beast, or the false prophet are going to go to judgment. They're going to go straight to the lake of fire. That's what God said. All right, chapter 20, go to chapter number 20 in verse number 10. Chapter 20, verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. No judgment. No judgment. Matter of fact, he's already been judged. John chapter number 16:7-11 says, because the prince of this world is judged. He's already judged. Amen. And so he is cast now. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. All right, skip down to verse 14. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. All right, look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let's go to chapter 21, if you would. Skip over chapter 21. Let's look at verse number 8. Chapter 21, verse number 8. Verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, I want to pray with you. Then I want to try to talk to you today and teach you a little bit about what the Bible has to say about the lake of fire. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your help all through the day. Lord, I'm telling you, you've been so good to me, Lord, and good to all of us, really. But I want to thank you for being especially good to me, Lord, helping me through this morning, and God giving us a safe trip down and help us in Sunday school. And I want to thank you, dear Lord, for blessing me, Lord, with the fellowship of your people here. And I pray now, Father, that the Holy Spirit would help us today. Lord, I am so aware that without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, I'm so aware that, Father, unless you somehow take your Holy Spirit and, Lord, and use your word to send it to somebody's heart, there won't be any help for any of us. So I'm going to pray today, Lord, you bless. Bless Pastor, his family, the leadership here at the church. God, just do a good work here. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I want to take a strange approach, I guess, to this. As a matter of fact, I believe I may have, I think I've got all the verses in which the phrase lake of fire is mentioned in the Word of God. I think I've got them all here in the verses read. Now, that don't mean that's the only reference to the lake of fire, and I think I'll give you another one as you go through. But I'm going to share a couple of things that you may already know, but let me just share them anyway. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the compartments in the underworld. Now, have I ever been there? No. Matter of fact, there ain't nobody been in the underworld and come back and told us about it. Nobody. But I've got something better than somebody that went and came back. I've got the Word of God to tell me what's in this, what's under the surface of this earth. By the way, you can't know. Yes, I can know what God has to say. And God has let me know through this word all he wants me to know about what's in the underworld here. Amen. All right, so what do we find here? Well, I'm going to give you some compartments that are found in the Word of God. Now, if you want to jot these references down, please do so. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I read this last night. Friday night. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. Now, listen to what it says, 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and matter of fact, make a note of that word hell now, and he cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now that word hell is one I'm interested in here. Now that is, now I'm not a Greek scholar, so no, I'm not trying to pretend, but from our studies, the word hell in 2 Peter 2:4 is not the normal word used for hell. It is a word called Tartaro, or we call it Tartarus. So there's a compartment in the heart of this earth called Tartarus. All right, so what is it? Well, if you got a Strong's Concordance, you look this word hell up in 2 Peter 2:4, and here's what he'll say. He says it is the deepest abyss in the underworld. So wherever Tartarus is, it is the deepest part, Nebra, in the center of this earth. The deepest part in the abyss, Nebra, which is, it's pretty far now. But it is to incarcerate an eternal torment. All right, so what is there? What is in this place called Tartarus? All right, look back at the verse we just read. And God spared not the angels. Do you hear that? He spared not the angels that sinned. So here's what I know. When Satan led the rebellion in heaven, and he led at least a third part of the angels of God in rebellion, I don't know how many, but there was a number of those that God incarcerated in this place called Tartarus. They will never get out under the judgment. Matter of fact, did he not say that? He said they're reserved in the judgment. So they're going to face judgment. No doubt at the last day, they'll be facing judgment. So is that compartment there? Yes, it's there. It is there right now. And by the way, y'all listen to me. That place called Tartarus in the deepest abyss has got angels that rebelled against God in there. How long's that been? How long do you think that's been? Well, it's been every bit of 6,000 years or better that they have been burning, neighbor, in the abyss and torment in the abyss waiting for the judgment. Can God make a place like that last? Well, sure. God can do anything. And if God can create a sun in the sky, to burn as long as it's been burning, God has got no problem of having a place called abyss, the Tartarus, the deepest in the abyss, for those angels that sinned against God. You say, well, that's terrible. Is it really? You think about that. I mean, neighbor, your angels that saw the best that God had. They saw the heaven God lived in. They saw the best God had, and they said, we want something better. Hey, they ain't nothing better. I mean, they ain't nothing better than what God has. Amen. So that's number one. All right, so now I'm going to give you a second compartment, and I'm going to just tell you what it is, and we'll move along. But it's called paradise. Now, the word paradise is mentioned three times in the scripture, and I will give a reference to it. So Jesus Christ is on the cross, and this thief, the repentant thief, said, God, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come in the kingdom. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me. Remember it? In paradise. All right, so that's the first time it's mentioned. The second time is in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul was called up. He said, a new man about 14 years ago, within the body of the Spirit, I don't know. He said he was called up in the paradise of God. All right, and then we find paradise mentioned again in Revelation 2:7. So the three times paradise is mentioned, so here's the mystery. So the Bible, when Jesus said to that thief on the cross, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, did not the Bible say that Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth for 3 days? They didn't say that. All right? So if he's going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, three nights, and he said to the thief, today shall thou be in paradise, then paradise is down. When Jesus Christ made mention that, paradise was down. But when Paul was caught up into paradise, now it's moved. Amen. Whatever this paradise, when, by the way, paradise was the resting place for those that knew God. It was a resting place for those that had been saved by grace, had trusted God. It wasn't heaven, oh no, but it's a resting place for them. Well, somehow or another, neighbor, that paradise of God that was in the heart of the earth was moved up. So how did it get moved up? Okay. Is this all happening to y'all, or y'all just looking strange? All right, so how did it get up? How did the paradise of God move? Well, here's what the Bible said. Are y'all with me now? Here's what the Bible said. Oh, help us here, Lord. And this in Ephesians 4:8. And wherefore he saith, when he, Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. When Peter, and by the way, you remember this, Matthew said this, that neighbor when Christ died, that there were many graves that were opened up when Christ died, and saints rose out of the grave when he resurrected. Y'all remember that? So what did he do with that crowd? What did he do with that crowd? I mean, well, here's what he did. The Bible said he led captivity captive. That means what he's done when Christ rose from the dead, all those saints have gone. By the way, you believe what you want to believe, but Christ never went to the fiery part of hell. Never did. He went down neighbor to the paradise of God is where he went. All right, now then, that's my opinion, and I believe it's right. So Christ now is raised from the dead, and all of them souls that was in that paradise of God went out and they went up. Amen. So how did paradise get moved? Christ moved it when he moved. When he rose from the dead, he took paradise with him. That's why it's in heaven. Amen. So what happened now? Well, so in the underworld, there is paradise, but now think with me now. So Lazarus is in paradise, right? Right? So Lazarus saw, the rich man saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Is that right? Is that right? All right? So the Bible said, Abraham said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from this you cannot, neither can they pass from us, they would come from thence. So there is an expanse there, there is a paradise of God, there is a torment side, neighbor, of hell in the earth, and by the matter of fact, that's a compartment of its own hell. But when paradise was moved up to heaven, what happened? I'll tell you. Therefore, hell hath enlarged itself and opened its mouth without measure. Do you know what? That's when hell enlarged itself. When Christ moved paradise out, it gave hell a chance to enlarge itself and take over that compartment as well. You say, has hell enlarged? Well, that's what Isaiah says. It said plainly that hell has enlarged itself and opened her mouth without measure. Are you okay? Or am I okay? All right, so you've got paradise and hell. Now, there's something else I want you to get. I'm getting there. So there's another compartment, and there are two words to identify. Do you remember when Jesus Christ is casting out demons? And the demons said to Christ, they said, don't send us to the deep. You remember that? Remember that? Well, that word deep is abusos, a B-U-S-S-O-S. That's the Greek word that's translated, the deep. Well, now get it now. So what is that abuso? Well, let me give you the other places used. In Revelation 9, there is a strong angel that's coming down from heaven that's got a key to what? The bottomless pit. That angel got a key to the bottomless pit, and he unlocks the bottomless pit. Now that bottomless pit took this smoke, and now that smoke come all kind of creatures, locust-like creatures that are going to torment men for 5 months, and they can't die in that 5 month period. Remember that? Remember that? All right. The word bottomless pit, the word translate bottomless pit is abusos. It's the same word that those devils were asking not to be placed, the bottomless pit. And by the way, they know they were headed there, at least that's what they thought anyway, and so they asked not to be delivered, neither to that abusos or the bottomless pit. All right, so what about that bottomless pit? All right, so is it real today? Is that bottomless pit, is it a vital, real place today? All right, so if it is, then let's answer the question. What is in the bottomless pit? What is in the bottom? Don't say Satan, because he's not there yet. But here's what's in there. Somehow it is demonic creatures that are in that bottomless pit. Now look, if y'all read Revelation 9 lately, well, if you hadn't, you'll read that. Well, if you read Revelation 9, it'd be a shock to you. When that angel opened up that bottomless pit, and by the way, that's not Satan that's opening up. God never gives Satan key to nothing. Amen. So that angel opened up the bottomless pit. Smoke come out of it. Now that smoke come, these creatures that look like locusts got breastplates of iron, and they got stings like a scorpion, and they torment men for 5 months. Men will try to kill themselves. They cannot kill themselves because God will not let them die. These creatures are coming out of the pit. That's what's in there right now. You better listen to this old man, buddy. If you're not born again, you better get it. You better get born again. You better get born again. And by the way, I don't watch much television at all. But I'm at some of this stuff that I'm seeing advertised. I'm telling you, it is as demonic as anything I've ever seen. Do I need to go there? These transformers, they don't look like you. They're demonic looking. And you know what's happening? Satan is preparing and programming the minds of men and women for this demonic activity that's going to be flooding this world. Amen. So in that bottomless pit, there are those creatures. All right, so now then, by the way, Satan will be there during the millennial. And you know, I got so much in my head, I can't already get it all out. But in the millennial, God will bind Satan and place him in the bottomless pit. Is that right? Is that right? Y'all don't know? Yes. And you know what? If you read that scripture carefully, those demons that were let out of there in Revelation 9 don't return. I cannot find anywhere where they return to the bottomless pit. But I tell you what I think, Ellen. I think that army of 200 million men in the next chapter or two over from Revelation 10-11, I think that army will be inhabited by those demons that came out of the bottomless pit. Amen. That's what I think. So, what does God do? God incarcerates Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years all by himself. I cannot find where there's not a single creature in the bottomless pit in the millennial other than Satan. Now, I'll show you how wicked that character is. That character is so wicked, he is incarcerated in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and he don't change one iota. When he gets out of the bottom, when the Lord releases him out of the bottomless pit, first thing he knows, he goes to the world and creates a rebellion. He hasn't changed one bit. You cannot make friends with Satan. Play games with him and you'll be the loser. Play game with him and you'll lose your soul in eternal hell. Amen. All right, so there's one other place here. What is it? And this, I won't touch it. I'll try not to bore you with it. But now so look at this lake of fire. The lake of fire is known also as the second death. We read that in Revelation 20 and 6 and verse 14. And it's the final place. Listen to me now. Hell is the lake of fire is the final place for all rebel angels, all rebel humans, all rebel, 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 all those that hate God will not give their life to Christ. The lake of fire is where every rebel will spend eternity. Amen. So let's look at it briefly, and we'll let you go. All right. So help us here, Lord, and not make a mistake here. All right. So let's look at number one, creation. When was the lake of fire created? It's a real place. So when was it created? Well, the best I can figure, there is not a single scripture in the Word of God that identifies when it was made. Are y'all thinking me or y'all just looking at me like I'm... All right, so let me tell you what I think. All right, so here's what I think. We don't have a single scripture saying when it was made, but we know who made it. Do I know who made it? Yeah. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Is that right? Hey, listen to John 1:3. All things. Now look, the Bible said John 3:3. John 1:3. And the Bible says, and all things were made with him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So John 1:3 said that whatever's been made, Christ made it. So that means that the lake of fire, Christ made it. Is that right? Now I don't know when he made it. Well, I think I got an idea. So I don't know where it is. A lot of things I don't know. But I know who made it, and I know when he made it. When did he make it? Come here now. Listen to me a moment. So when did Christ make the lake of fire? Y'all ready? Listen to this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When did God make everything that's made? That's not a trick question. And you don't get an extra 20 points if you get it. It's just not trick. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. So whatever God made, I don't care what it was made in the beginning. All right, so let me prove it to you. All right, so Matthew 25:41. The Bible said that hell was something for the devil and angels. Matter, remember what it said? Now, be careful. Don't answer me, because I don't want to embarrass you. But the Bible did not say in Matthew 25:41 that God created hell for the devil and angels. It said he prepared it. What about the New Jerusalem? What about the New Jerusalem? Jesus said, I go to create a place for you. Is that what he said? What did he say? I go to prepare. All right, so if he's going to prepare it, that must mean it's already there. So when did it become there? When did he create the New Jerusalem? Try in the beginning. Everything God made, he made it in the beginning. Is that y'all get my logic here?
Yes.
Y'all ain't swallowed it yet, but y'all can get my logic? Okay. So it's in the beginning that God made everything that God made, he made it in the beginning. All right. So if he didn't, that means God's had some afterthoughts. Has God ever had an afterthought? Never. He's never had an afterthought. He's never had to correct anything he's done. Never. Are y'all okay? Well, I'm having fun just watching y'all. Amen. So I know when he was created. I do anyway. And I know where it's going to be. I don't know where it is now, but I know it's where it's going to be. All right? Look at your Bible. I want you to see it now. Look at Revelation 14. Turn your Bible there. Revelation 14. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture for you. Revelation 14. And it's going to show you where the lake of fire is going to be. All right, you ready? All right, so let's read verse 10. By the way, the phrase lake of fire is not mentioned here, but I will make a statement to identify it. Verse 14:9. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, his image, and receive the mark in his forehead or hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Two things. How do I know that's a lake of fire? Don't say lake of fire. How do I know it? Because of the word brimstone. Brimstone is never used in relationship to hell. Never. It's always used in relationship to the lake of fire. You study it out, look it up. Look every time you say, every time that word brimstone is mentioned in the Word of God, and you'll never find it in relationship to what we call hell. It's always in relationship to the lake of fire. So that's why I know this and the lake, this lake of fire. All right, so with that said, where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? What, did you not see it? It said it's going to be in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. I can't get that. I can't grab all that. But that's what that Bible said. That Bible said that that lake of fire will be in the presence of the Lamb of God. But Wills, that won't be heaven. I didn't say it's heaven. But I don't know how this figures up. But I know one thing. Jesus Christ will have, and the holy angels will have his eye on the lake of fire eternally. It's going to be in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb of God. And can I say, God loves every sinner. He loves every soul. He wants to see every person born again and saved by God's grace. But I'm telling you, if you reject God's dear Son, the Son of God, if you reject what he has to offer you, God will not bat his eye to let you burn your soul in the lake of fire for eternity if you reject God's love gift for your soul. That's not, I'm sorry, but that's not being mean. But God, look, God is pouring out his love right now. God is drawing right now. God is begging people right now, come to me, come to me, come to me. And I'm too busy. I have more important things to do. I'd rather cheer the Vols on. We don't want to go there, do we? I'd rather go fishing. I'd rather go hunting. I'd rather play ball. I'd rather gamble. I'd rather do this. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you might rather get high on some kind of drugs, neighbor, than to get saved. I'm going to tell you, you'll regret it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The Lord God, oh my God, there's no way in heaven I can describe to you what heaven will be like and the joy that God will give us forever and on the other end. There's no way I could tell you of neighbor the sorrow and the struggle and the torment. There'll be awaiting those that reject the Son of God and end up in the lake of fire. All right, so let's look at this. Let's look at one more thing. Well, I say one. Let me look at a couple more things. Let's look at the conditions or the description of the lake of fire. What will we find there? Well, are you near Revelation 20? I want you to look at verse 15. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Are y'all hearing me? Now, I just feel impressed to play on this word here. Whose Bible is this? You don't know? Okay, if it's yours, I want you to know I'm not mistreating your Bible. But the Lord said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, what did it say? Help me now, what did it say? Cast. Wasn't laid down gently in the lake of fire. In other words, it's like casting. It's like picking tomatoes. And on the backside of that tomato, you didn't see it. But it had a rotten place, and you run your fingers plumb up to the second joint in that rotten hole. You don't say, well, golly, what do you do with it? Exactly. You cast it away. It's rotten. Listen to me now. It's rotten. There is no possible good of anything in it. You cast it away. Oh, listen to me. Every rejecting sinner will be cast in the lake of fire. Why? There's no good in them. Just rottenness. They neighbor, there's nothing good left in them. And God cast them away. Wow. Now let me move on and say this. Now watch this. So what are we talking about here about the condition? Well, number one, it's called a lake. Now, it would be, it's hard for us to get over this, but it'd be like, what lake y'all have around here? Telco? What's that body? Is there not a lake up near Knoxville near the hospital? Wait, huh? Fort Loudoun? Begin to worry about y'all. Now, it's hard to think, really. It's hard to think about a huge body of water and it all being fire, ain't it? I mean, that's hard for my mind to grab. I mean, to think about this humongous body of water, a lake out there, and see it filled with water, yet it's got fire in it. Well, so the Bible said, it's a lake. It's full of fire. And now listen to me now. Revelation 20:10. Watch what it said. It said, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Also, now listen now. No matter of fact, I want y'all to go back and check it out, that brimstone thing. It's never mentioned in hell, but it's mentioned about the lake of fire time and time again. The lake of fire and brimstone. Do you know what brimstone is? Some of you guys do, don't you? Brimstone is burning sulfur. Are you hearing me? Yes, sir. Has any of you guys, have y'all ever smelled burning sulfur? I mean, now what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about smelling at a distance. I'm talking about smelling sulfur, the burning, when it's creating the dioxide. In other words, that means you have to smell it just as it starts burning. When you smell sulfur and it just starts burning, it emits a sulfur dioxide will absolutely take your head off. You ever smell it? Smell it? I mean, it sticks in your mind for months and months. How bad it was. I'm telling you, buddy, it'll about knock your brain cells out if you smell it. God said, this is what's in the lake of fire. Brimstone, burning sulfur. I'm going to say something. I got to quit preaching here in about an hour. I don't know if I ever told y'all this or not, but back about 10 years ago, my wife and I went on a vacation. We went to Yellowstone. Anybody been to Yellowstone? And by the way, this is true with every volcanic area. If you go into a volcanic area, you will find deposits of sulfur all over the area. So I stopped at this one location up there, and there was a retainer wall, and this young man was sitting on the retainer wall, and he was looking over at something, and his tears was running out of his eyes and dripping off his chin. I thought, what is this boy seeing? And I went over there and looked on the other side there, and there were huge sulfur pots that were boiling. I mean, you ain't never seen mud boil, but this was thick sulfur that had melted and it was just boiling up. Just bubbling up, like potatoes are boiling or something, like grits. Again, I don't know. But anyway, he's sitting there and he's crying. When I looked over that precipice and I saw that, I didn't even have to ask that boy. I knew what he was doing. He was seeing those sulfur pots over there. He was seeing hell. He was seeing the lake of fire where souls going to be cast forevermore. And he's weeping his eyes out and crying at the souls of men that were burning in the lake of fire forever, seeking up in that burning sulfur. That's what's going to be there. Okay, let's look. Let's look on, if you would. Let me show you a couple more things. Let me get done. So who's going to be there? Who's going to be there in the lake of fire? Revelation 20:10. We've already mentioned three, and I'll not try to elaborate here. But the devil will be there. The beast will be there. The false prophet will be there. Isn't it amazing that the young people in our country will play around with satanic stuff? If they ever got one glimpse of who they've been playing around with, yes. Son, I tell you, they'd fall on their face in repentance in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So the devil will be there, false prophet will be there, and the beast will be there. Revelation 14:9 said those that worship the beast, those that receive his mark, they'll be there. Look in Revelation 21:8. Look in Revelation 21:8. Let me just elaborate just briefly here. So God said this crowd's gonna be there too now. They're gonna be in that fire and brimstone, which is the lake of fire. Said the fearful, fearful, unbelieving, abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, don't you listen to me. God's word meant what it said. And whoever he's talking about here, they're not going to just get a glimpse of the lake of fire. They're going to be in it. Come on now, listen to me. I'm trying to get you to understand, God is telling us the truth, and we better believe every word God says about what he's saying here. So he says, the fearful, who would that be? Well, I'm telling you, this is the definition. The fearful are the timid about faith. How are we saved? By grace through faith. So here's this person here that's lost without God. Preacher's preaching and give the invitation. Oh, won't you please come. And they're thinking, what would my girlfriend say? What would my boyfriend say? What would my school buddies say if I come down there and get saved? And they're fearful or timid about putting faith in Christ. That you? Is that you? You're timid about putting faith in Christ? Afraid of what somebody's going to say? Afraid of your buddies, your chums, the people you work with? All right, now look on. It said not only the fearful, but it said the unbelieving. I think that's evident without Christian faith. Well, and look what it said. It said the fearful and unbelieving and abominable. What? What's that mean? That word abominable means disgusting. Do you understand that God said there are some things that are disgusting to me? That's what God said. Are you hearing that? And don't pull a Joel Osteen on me and say, well, God loves all homosexuals and he will allow them into heaven. He understands they were made that way. No, God was there when creation took place, and best I remember, it was male and female created them.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And he said that homosexual movement is abomination. But I want to tell you something. They're going, according to 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it's maybe 6, 9, and 10, 11, according to that passage. And the Bible says, and such were some of you, but the emphasis is on this, and such were some of you. So when God saves you, you become a new creature in the Lord. And if you're cooked up, neighbor, if you're all twisted up, neighbor, in abomination, and God saves you, you are now straight.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Straight.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
He said, that which is abominable is going to go into the lake of fire. You better get it. Now, I'm going to tell you sad. So I'm going to tell you something sad. No, I don't need to digress. Let me move on. Look on, it says in the abominable, that means the sodomite crowd, the cross-dressing crowd, the graven image crowd, the married desecrators. Oh, yeah. Got to move on, Lord. And so murders, whoremongers. Brother Wells, I'm not a whoremonger. Brother Wells, I'm not a prostitute. I'm not one of those evil persons. And Lord, I don't want to say something wrong here. Please help me. But this ungodly internet generation has no controls. They now then have some system in which you can gratify your filthy lust without being involved in a physical human person. Y'all understand me? You're just as guilty as if there was somebody physical with you. I ain't never said that before, but it's still true. And anyway, but now let me emphasize this. Move on quickly. Move quickly. All right. Notice the last thing it said. Look at verse number 12. Look at verse number 8. And the Bible says, and those sorcerers, that's that crowd that used drugs. Amen. Don't have time to go on that. And all liars. I've been in this business a long time. And what I've seen in Baptist churches, and that's the only time I'm preaching is Baptist church. The only thing I've seen. Liars, 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 liars. I'm not saying you're a liar. But I'm going to tell you, I have seen in churches liars. Let me tell you a good example you might check out here. So there's a young person that wants to go somewhere his parents told him to go. And they deceive their parents about where they're going. Is that lying or not? Is that lying? So what did God say about liars here? Look at it. He said, A-L-L. And look what he said. I didn't write it. God wrote it. He said, A-L-L, all liars. Well, I just tell a little fib every now and then. No, you're a liar. So I'm going to tell you, I was a terrible liar when God saved me. I mean a terrible liar. And the moment God birthed me in his family, I knew immediately that part of my life was supposed to be history. Y'all listen. I'm not saying a Christian can't lie. I'm not saying that. Because we know David did. I'm going to tell you one thing. His lifestyle wasn't one lie after another lie after another lie after another lie. But God said, if that's your lifestyle, you're not going to make it to heaven I've created. You're going to make it to the lake of fire I've created. If that's your lifestyle. Okay, let me show you this and I'm done. Wow, God hit me here. So here, let me just give you this and I'll just do my best to summarize this. So this is not a place we want to go, right? This is not a place I want to go. So is there a way for me to circumvent going to the lake of fire? Has God made a way for me to circumvent that? Has God made a way for me to miss it? The house ought to say amen with a roar. It ought to. But I want to tell you, thank God there's a way. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God didn't make hell the lake of fire because he hates us. God hates sin. That's why. Amen. But I tell you, I'm glad God Almighty made a way for us by sending his son. Amen. Oh, God, help me today. Now, listen to me. God, because he loved you, sent his son Jesus. Listen to me, listen to me. Every sin, I don't care how small, now no matter how small it is in your eyes, every sin I've ever committed or you've committed demands from God's law death in hell, death in hell, death in hell. Every sin, I mean every sin. Let me tell you what I mean. The thought of foolishness is sin. It's what Proverbs said, the thought of foolishness is sin, which means if my life has been spotless and pure, and I have a dirty thought, I have just one thought that says, I'd like to smack Wayne Sexton up by the head with a table of four. God said, well, you just sinned. You just sinned. And that one single sin demands death. That's what that book teaches. One single sin demands death. Oh, won't you listen to me, if you can get this. Yes, for God so loved the world. But don't you look at this. For the wages of sin is death. Don't forget that. The wages of sin is death. And there hangs Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, delivered by the determinate counsel of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. He was delivered by the determinate counsel of God, and there he hangs on the cross of Calvary. And God reached out here in this generation and the generation following and the generation to come. And I don't know how God did it, but God pulled your sins and my sins in and placed them on the Son of God while he's dying. Every sin that man had ever committed, God had placed that on the Son of God. His visage is so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Remember that? Oh, what a mess of sin. Yours is there. Mine were there. Did he die? Did he die? Did he die with those sins on him? What's the wages of sin? Death. He paid the death. Not just the debt. He paid the death owed. I owed my life because of my sin. And yet there on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God died with my sins on him. Amen. And I love this kind of verse. I love it. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered from our offenses and raised again for our justification. God, he didn't just die, but he was buried. And I'm telling you, on that third day, the Son of God come barreling out of the tomb. Amen to God. Yes, praise God. Amen. Why? Because he rose again for my justification. Amen to God. Amen. Amen. Does that make me saved? No, sure don't. Don't make you saved. Just made the way for you to be saved. Amen. Yes, amen. And the moment you get tired of your sin, I don't care what it is, whether it's religion, whether it's something vile, the moment you get tired of your sin, and you do have to get tired of it. Do you not think so? Yes. You've got to get tired of it. It did it to some degree anyway. And the moment you come to him, oh, don't you love this verse? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. There has never been one soul that was sorry for his sin and he came to Jesus for salvation that God didn't say, I ain't got time for you. Move along, move along. Oh, no, no, no. Every soul that come to him, God will save them if he'll come. Amen to God. Oh. I didn't know the difference between hell and lake of fire when I was a lost boy. How old are you, son? 15? I was 14 when God saved me. But I remember my granny and granddaddy raised me. And now, this is just how it was. But I slept on the back porch. That's where I slept. It was enclosed. I mean, it wasn't like they put me out in the rain. But I slept on the back porch. And they were windows right beside my bed. And every night, I'd look out them windows. And I'd see the heavens. And I'd cry. I mean, tears were in my eyes. I'd cry. And I don't even know what I said, but I knew I was going to hell. I knew if I died like I was, I'd be in eternal hell. I didn't know the difference then. But I knew I'd be in hell if I died like that. And, you know, I used to make up songs about God to try to keep God from striking me dead and me going to hell. You know, silly things, you know. But I will tell you this. That night in October of 1958, that's been a day or two, I was in an old-fashioned tent meeting. My mother was lost. She didn't even know God. She lived in sin. That's why she gave me away, called it for sin. But she had a big old side yard, big old yard. These two Southern Baptist preachers asked Mama, can we put a tent up here? And she'd watch her. She's trying to do a religious thing. So sure. But God, she didn't know God had her salvation in mind and my salvation in mind and probably 25 other people that got saved in that meeting. But I will tell you this, Chad. That night, God, I knew I was going to go to hell. I knew it. Old Brother John came to my house and said, Larry, will you come to the meeting? I said, yes, sir. And by the time I said yes to the time I went, I had done made up my mind, if God will have me, I'm going to give me to God if God will have me. Amen. I went to that old tent meeting that night, and I don't even know what he preached on, but when he got done, I made my way to the altar, and I don't even know what I said, but I will tell you this. When I got up that night, I was not afraid of going to hell. Amen. I was not afraid of going to hell. God had changed me by the power of God, and God had put something in me beside wickedness and ungodliness. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. He said, I've given them eternal life. And that's been 60-something years ago. And it's his life right now. And it's ever been. Amen to God. How about what you got? Is it still alive? Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to go to the lake of fire. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go to hell and have to be cast in the lake of fire. Amen. Y'all understood that?
Amen.
I should have said more about it, but anyway, God, oh, I love this. The Bible says, who gave himself for us, for our sins, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Hey, I bet I've showed this before you, but let me stop with this. I want you to look. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Take your Strong's Concordance. Look up that word deliver in Galatians 1:4, and then go the root word, and here's what you will find. It means to tear out. When God saved me, he tore me out. Are y'all listening to me? When God birthed me in the family of God, he tore me out. Now, Pastor, put it back just like it was.
Okay.
Huh? Glue it. chew it up and spit it out, tape it, do whatever you want to, and it won't never fit like it was.
That's right.
Never.
That's
Son,
right.
When God delivers you, you won't never fit like you used to. Amen, amen. You'll never fit in this world like you used to. You'll never fit in sin like you used to fit. God tears you out of that mess and changes you by His power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to have a running fit somewhere or another and thank God for pulling us out and changing us by His divine power. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm done. Lord, thank You for help today. Oh, God, thank You for help. Father, I want You to help us that are saved by grace today to truly and genuinely rejoice in our heart that You have delivered us from ever having to experience even the smell of the lake of fire. Father, I want to thank You for that. Should there be anybody here, Lord, that has never known what it's really, really like to be born again and saved by Your power, help them to see their need, and we will love and praise You for what You do in Christ's name. Pastor, you come. Thank you.